The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices. Okay, we're on. We're doing it.
We're live?
Yeah. This is the Homance Chronicles. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
That was a struggle, 2022.
I know. I was just like sitting here waiting. I'm like, is she going to say her name? Or...
No. New year, new me.
Obviously not.
No, so. Not at all. We've just actually probably regressed even further.
I know. There's been so many memes about people who have New Year's resolutions, and then it's like, well, I guess I could just wait till Monday, you know, because New Year's Day was a Saturday.
Oh my God. And all the memes that are like, we all know, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, right?
That's me. I think I quit doing resolutions a year ago or so. Yeah.
I don't remember you ever really having a resolution.
Because I'm not good at committing to shit. So that's, I know myself well enough to know. But I used to be like, I would try to make one positive life goal for the year. And then, you know, I'd forget it by that next Monday because it me.
I've never really been one on New Year's specifically to like sit down and like write out my list of things I want to accomplish or my goals or like set a particular resolution.
Which, no shade, that's surprising.
Right. No, you didn't let me finish.
Okay.
I don't necessarily do it on New Year's, but I do it like throughout the year.
That's fair though. That's like,
so that's, I don't, not... I'm not like dedicating like, oh, it's a new year, it means new blah blah blah. Like I do plenty of check-ins and self-help and all that kind of stuff at different points throughout the year. So it's, for me, it's like a continuous thing. So New Year resolutions to me don't make a lot of sense because for my lifestyle, not for other people, but for me.
They don't make sense for me.
Because
I've got my collective shit together all year round. Thank you.
I tend to do like a quarterly check-in of sorts, right? Like I am always
checking
working
in
on it. So.
Because you're the most organized human being on the planet. Not everybody functions like that. I think it's a goodwill gesture for everybody to be like, I'm going to better myself, you know, like sure. Our Atta Girls at the end of every episode. I feel like that's a society's version of like Atta Girl.
No, because you're not getting an Atta Girl until you actually complete your resolution.
True.
You're not like, the resolution is technically intended to set you up with a new mindset and saying like, this is a new slate. You can just kind of clear out the old slate. It's a new slate. For me, I'm like, just because it's January 1 of a new year, like, the old shit doesn't go away. But I have been working on something since October. So I'm not going to stop what I'm doing just because it's New Year's.
No.
Right? Like, it's just different. And so for some people, it really works for them. They want that, like...
structure?
Line in the sand.
Formal structure? Yeah.
They want the line in the sand to say, you know what? 2021 was garbage. Never mind on that. We're starting over.
So I'm looking up, where in the fuck did resolutions actually come from?
Oh.
Babylonians.
That, neither of those were the right word.
Those, the same word. I just had to repeat it because it was asinine the way it came out of my face. Babylonians.
Okay.
It was about 4,000 years ago, and it was like a 12-day ceremony.
Oh.
Let's see.
Reminds me of like a Mayan calendar situation.
I think that's kind of where it came in. But their new year, then I'm getting this off of history.com, FYI. So y'all can go look it up after I butcher it and see how accurate I'm being on the fly. but I guess it was like a 12-day religious festival. And they would crown a new king or reaffirm loyalty to the reigning king. And then they made promises to gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises considered the forerunners of our New Year's resolutions.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
I can see how it's evolved.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
However, how it originally started is such a departure from where we're currently at.
Certainly. Well, see, if the Babylonians kept their word, their pagan gods would bestow favor on them for the coming year. If not, they would fall out of the gods' favor, a place no one wanted to be. So it was a way to, you know, control people. Fear-based control.
Good old religion.
Society.
Well, I don't know. Pagan means it was more like witchcraft, right?
In a sense, yeah, I think so.
I mean, I shouldn't be talking, but
no,
they're saying pagan god, so they're not saying, like, in the traditional sense of a god, I don't think.
No, pagan gods are, like, deities. They're, like, the, not mythical, but the Roman, not the Roman, what are the Greek gods? Same concept.
Yeah. No one should listen to us for facts on anything.
No, 100% no. That's why I gave you guys all history.com. Do your own facting.
But that is interesting. It's stuck. It's continued on because...
It's haunting us. It's fucking haunting us. Think about it for a second.
Well, it's more ritualistic.
It's haunting society. Everybody starts their year going, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then halfway through the year, like, I'm not going to do this. I'm a failure. It's bad for us.
Hashtag not blessed.
No.
As soon as you bail.
There's only one God and he doesn't care about you anyway, apparently. So
right. You hit February 1st. You hit Super Bowl. You're already out of the game.
Game over.
Right.
Your gods are not going to be thrilled with you. At all.
But that's why I don't like to put that kind of pressure on myself.
Right.
That's
what I mean.
And I don't like to do things if I'm not into it or if I'm not feeling it just because it's New Year's, because then I'm not going to be committed.
Well, there's no passion. There's no drive. There's no willingness. You just feel forced. And then there's this, like, strange situation hovering over you. They're like, oh, I gotta do this thing. I just gotta do this thing. And
right.
Then you never do the fucking thing. And then your whole year is a wash because you didn't do that one thing that you started off saying you were due. I don't like New Year's resolutions, I've decided.
You just went real negative.
I did.
And I could see.
You saw it?
I could see it happening. I mean, it's similar to, like, dry January and stuff.
Set yourself up to fail.
Yeah. Well, I think dry January is attainable. But I don't, like, everybody has their own purpose for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I can't.
But then I
feel
like if I did a dry January, I'd go into February trying to make up for lost time.
100p. I'd be like.
Instead of moderation. I'm
right.
Very much all about moderation.
As am I, mostly. For like 98% of my things in my life.
Oh my God.
But I'm 100% with you. Like, I'm that person that, like, I can do moderation. I don't need to cut myself off because I'm getting too deep with it at this point.
I often think of it just like dieting, where once you're told you can't have something, then that's all that you want. And then as soon as you're done dieting, unless you've really made lifestyle changes, you go full bore on, like, a whole tub of ice cream or something.
You know, they say, there are studies out there, and I don't need a source, you can Google this one, that when you tell yourself you can't do something, your body physically reacts to the inability, of not being able to do something, and that's all you can focus on. So, like, it's more harmful mentally for you to...
Right.
Like, stop yourself from things like that than it is for you to wean yourself off or do whatever you need to do to, like, actively quit doing something.
Mm.
There's studies that show, that prove that that kind of behavior is, like, not great.
Yeah. I can see how it could make you obsessive.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah. I know. I mean, as somebody who...
Lent.
See, I don't participate in Lent.
Well, we don't actively participate in anything on the church calendar that we don't have to.
I've never been part of a church calendar, so I don't even know like, people be like, oh, I gave up chocolate for Lent. And I'm like, oh, it's Lent. Like, I don't.
The only reason I know is because of my family. Otherwise, I too wouldn't be, I would not be aware of what was going on at all, period. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and I think that there is a, again, like a sacrificial, deeper meaning there where you're giving something up to, again, a whole God concept and to show your commitment in all of these things. I think it's actually very similar to this original definition of a New Year's resolution, to be honest, which I totally respect.
I am my own God.
If you are really dedicated to the faith and you live by that kind of world. But if you don't and you're just kind of doing Lent because you think it's a good time to, you know, also diet.
Make yourself better.
Or whatever.
Like, you should always try to make yourself better.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. It just, it all seems very, like, what's the opposite of moderation? It all seems very, like, singular point in time, ungratifying.
Mm-hmm. It's like a thousand little cuts situation. It's just like this little thing here, this little thing here, this little thing here. Next thing you know, I want to flip out. No chocolate. None of my good music. Or whatever the case may be. Like, you're just setting yourself up to fail.
Right? Yeah. So I didn't make any New Year's resolutions.
Me either.
In case we couldn't didn't come to there. That conclusion on our own.
I thought I should say it very...
Very abrupt one.
In case anybody out there listening doesn't do things by deductive reasoning.
Yeah. But I did get on the bandwagon of finishing things that I had started.
Ooh, like what? That's fun. I don't know this bandwagon situation yet.
Well, I showed you right before recording that I had finished up this section of my basement that needed to be painted that was, you know, being put off because it was a pain in the ass. Like, I was going to have to consistently be ducking and contortioned into different positions underneath my stairs.
You are, okay, so this woman paints. Like, she's talking about painting her basement. You guys don't understand. She's using a brush with her hand, and she's just painting all of this stuff by hand.
Yeah.
So she painted her entire ceiling and all the pipes and all the things under.
Yeah.
By hand with black paint. She's
right.
Mad lady.
Yeah.
Oh,
again.
I would go insane.
Do not recommend.
Oh, no.
But you know what was nice about, I guess, that activity is that similarly to like maybe mowing the lawn, maybe some more people can relate to this, but it's not something where you really have to think much, and so it's almost like meditative in a way.
It can be cathartic.
It can be a little bit like therapeutic. Like, I'd put on podcasts and just kind of be in my zone
and mindlessly paint things
and mindlessly
for hours.
Paint for hours. But yeah, no, I mean, if you're looking to actually feel gratified and have your basement be put back together relatively quickly, I would highly suggest spraying it.
Yes.
But I had 100%. All these odd built-ins and extra things and who knows. I mean, the previous owner like tried to make a section of the basement a bedroom. So this
is that what's going on down there?
The section that I finished over the last couple of days was actually a closet, which will now just, I mean, it's just storage area for me. But yeah, I put some panels on the wall as well, some decorative panels that I glued on there and stuff. And so I did get in this mode of, I don't want this lingering into this year.
I like that a lot more.
That was, and like there was a book that I half read that I finished.
Okay. Was it worth it?
It was okay. But I even if the books aren't good or I'm really not that into them, I try to at least get some sort of takeaway. And so there were a handful of takeaways. The book wasn't all that great, but I finished it. you know, and that's, to me, like, I like being able to check that off. I'm a list checker.
Man, you guys, her validation goes that far. If I don't like a book, I'm not going to keep reading it. I do feel like it's unfinished, and I feel like it's something I need to finish, but I don't, I also look at it as, like, do I want to spend the energy on something that I don't care to do?
Well, I was just using it as a tool to fall asleep.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So I would just read it at night in bed, and sometimes I'd fall asleep after a couple pages or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was not a fictional story with a bunch of characters or anything that I needed to keep track of. So
that's fair too.
It was more informational.
How did you sleep after reading, like, that kind of stuff?
Fine.
I feel like my brain would be in business mode after that, and I wouldn't be able to un-business mode, and I would just go to sleep and go to work.
Mm-mm.
Lucky.
Mm-mm. No.
Like, my boyfriend and I are playing video games heavily right now because we just bought a bunch of games, and I went to sleep over the break, and I woke up in the morning. I was like, I just had Forza dreams all night long. And
you had what dreams?
Forza. Horizon 5. It's a race car game.
Oh.
And it's really fun. Straight the fuck up. And I love playing it. And we played it for a couple of hours the night before we went to bed. So I woke up and I was like, I just drove in Forza all night. And he was making fun of me. He was like, no more Forza before bed. And I'm like, okay. All right, Mr. Show Off. A couple of days later, he woke up. He was like, I just had dreams about Forza. And I was like, I guess we shouldn't be playing before bed then, huh? Mr. Forza.
Thankfully, things that I watch, read, etc., don't really find their way into my dreams. But if I am in business mode or I am thinking about stuff that I need to do, I just set reminders and give myself notes in my phone. And so then I just give myself a little note, like, or a reminder, do such and such 3 p.m. tomorrow, put my phone away, I'm good.
Nope. No. Nope.
As long as I have something, like, as long as it's written down or somewhere that it'll remind me, I can go to bed.
That's nice. I'm jealous. Like, right. I don't know if anybody actually, I'm sure other people experience this, but, like, I'll go to bed, I'll go to sleep, and then whatever I experience before I go to sleep, if it's a reading situation, I translate that into my dreams. It'll, more than likely, more often than not, I'll dream about whatever the fuck it is I read right before bed.
Oh, interesting.
It's strange. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, but anyway, instead of New Year's resolutions, I've been on this. Yeah. Finish this shit that's half done kick.
So you read a book and you painted?
Yeah, in the last weekend-ish.
Oh, you procrastinated those boys to the very
end. No, it was just an idea that I...
I know.
I mean, there was no deadline on them, so there was no procrastination. It was just kind of like, I'll do this instead.
That's cool. I could dig it.
You know? Because yeah. I was home. I wasn't really doing anything. I got my COVID booster, and so I didn't make any plans because I didn't know if I was going to be, like, on my ass or not.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out I was okay. I've just been having headaches.
Yeah, and a massive blob on your arm.
Yeah.
Hive.
I mean, the bump.
Hive.
The hivey bump is not really bothering me, though. I wasn't even really sore, to be honest.
That's good. Well, I'm glad that you made it through the booster.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I.
How many more boosters do you have to go?
What do you mean?
What?
I got the first two. This is my third shot, which is the third one's the booster.
Is there four boosters? I thought there were four.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought they came out with another one. I am not keeping track of shit.
I don't think so. yeah. No, I wouldn't get one for, even if there was a fourth booster, I mean, it would be like at least 6 months till I did another one.
I don't know how it works.
First one.
I get that.
Then second one, unless you do the Johnson & Johnson, the second one is like 6 weeks later. And then the booster is 6 months later. I don't know, I was like 8 or 9 months, I think, before I did my booster.
Oh.
Because I got vaccinated in April. And then I just got my booster at the end of December.
Your third one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
In case you didn't realize, COVID's wild in Michigan right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite the interesting situation over the last couple of weeks with the holidays and whatnot of how many people I've heard say that they got COVID, like, in December or right before, like, family gatherings. So, like, this year, holidays still were not the same.
No.
Because people are just out there getting it.
Living their lives.
Right? I mean, I'm boosted and I still wear a mask out in public and stuff. I mean, I think the most, maybe, if you can even call it irresponsible thing I do, is go to spin class.
Yeah, so irresponsible considering the CDC just told everybody, hey, go ahead and just eat better and do some exercising and you won't be susceptible to COVID.
Well, thankfully, I haven't had COVID this entire time.
I had it a year, like in October, the very beginning, a year ago. Yeah.
So I have not had it, but I also don't get out much.
Well, that's fair.
And my family's been pretty strict. We definitely haven't had normal family get-togethers.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a situation with my brother's wedding where the bride-to-be, my brother's wife, her mom got COVID and couldn't come to the wedding. So, like, that is just, I mean,
it's awful.
Yeah. That's one of the saddest things that you could ever hear, right?
It is truly awful, considering all the precautions that everybody was taking, too.
Right. There was an outbreak at the granddaughter's school. Her mom had been watching the granddaughter, had no symptoms, was already vaccinated, got tested as a precaution because the family, so my sister-in-law's stepbrother, had recently had COVID, plus his daughter with the outbreak and whatever. So, yeah, I mean, she has a pretty small family and four of them couldn't come. And, I mean, that's just heartbreaking. During the ceremony and the reception, her family was on Zoom the entire time. People at the reception, like, walked up to the computer to talk to them.
I mean, as shitty as it is, I'm thankful there was technology there that has been so advanced at this point that we can allow for that kind of stuff to happen. Because Lord knows Grandma and Grandpa couldn't figure out Zoom a year ago, let alone, you know, calling to a wedding. But it's just still shitty that that had to happen like that.
Right. And then now with the holidays, I was going to go over to my sister-in-law's family's house on Christmas Eve. I've gone over there twice in the past. I didn't go last year because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to go this year. And then one of the cousins had COVID, tested positive. So my brother and sister-in-law ended up just kind of like hosting a little tiny mini dinner at their house. Threw it together. Like, literally went grocery shopping that on Christmas Eve to get stuff.
I didn't know. Good for them, but damn, that's sad.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was just me, my brother, sister-in-law, and her mom and stepdad, and so...
Man, that's a bummer.
Right. And so, and thankfully, the people who have had COVID and have not been able to attend these functions or things have plans have changed because of them or whatever are fine. Like, mm-hmm. thankfully it didn't go worse,
mm-hmm.
but there's been a lot of people, a lot of situations this holiday season. It's like every other person I know was like, oh no, they had COVID. I didn't see them. Oh mm-hmm. no, they had COVID, plans changed. I was like, good God.
I'm so thankful. This year, my family's plans didn't implode, but my sister and my cousin didn't come from their places where they're at. So it was very small. It wasn't the same. But my boss, so my boss's family has had COVID several times. They've been blessed.
Several times?
He joked today that he said, and I quote, "I think I've had every variant of COVID out there."
Oh my God. How awful.
His wife is, I believe she's immunosuppressed. And so they've been extra careful, but it just continues to happen. And they've all been sick. Well, they were very excited because everybody was healthy, ready to go for Christmas. And I guess the brother-in-law shows up, and the brother-in-law has COVID from like Virginia or some Carolina or something. So the day the brother-in-law gets to the house, he gets everybody sick.
He wasn't experiencing symptoms or anything?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh, God.
Nope, he was not experiencing any symptoms. Ended up, I don't know why he, I didn't hear the whole full story, you know, but ended up getting everybody in the house sick.
See, and this whole time I've been like, I just don't want to be that person.
Right?
I don't want to be the person who brings it to everybody.
I thought I did when I had COVID, remember? I was visiting my family, and that Saturday and that Sunday I had gotten the positive results back. And I thought for sure that I, like, murdered a couple family friends because they're not doing well. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going away. I'm just never going to be okay with myself ever again. Like, it was the worst feeling ever.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Thinking that you were going to be responsible for somebody else's demise. Not even trying, you know, like.
Yeah.
Didn't have an option for a vaccine at that point. You know, testing was available, but I had just gotten tested. It was bad. It was a scary thought. So, yeah, you don't want to be in that position. Nobody wants to be in that position.
No. I had another friend who, her sister-in-law and brother-in-law, yeah, her husband's sibling, they were trying to figure out how they could kind of, like, make Thanksgiving work. And they were suggesting, like, coming by the house but standing outside and, like, saying hi and stuff. And because they had tested positive for COVID. And so, but they were still trying to figure out how to, like,
hang.
And
Christmas was warm.
She's like, I have toddlers. Like, they're not going to just be, like, hanging back. They're going to be like, why can't we go hug Aunt so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, get the fuck off my lawn. What are you thinking?
Yes.
Like, it was hilarious. All the various scenarios that they were proposing about how to still, like, be one during the holidays. And she was like, no.
Nah, we're not going to do that. Nah. Like, you've seen, I'm sure, the TikToks online of, like, all these people that have just, like, been spending the one day, you know, like, they're the one person, so they're, like, outside eating dinner while everybody's eating dinner inside, and they're waving through the window.
I have not seen these.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. Hilarious. Like, this one guy, you know, tested positive for COVID, but he feels fine. He's just tested positive. So all of his family's inside eating dinner at the table, and then behind one of the, you know, what, they made a little space at the table so they could see him through the window. And he was eating dinner with them through the window.
No, I would just, I'd rather be at home.
Hilarious. Or, like, how about the family got stuck in Turks and Caicos? Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of them tested positive, so they had to be there for another 14. All of them had to be there. Ooh, damn it.
Well, so a coworker of mine, her husband's boss, had went to the Bahamas with his family prior to Christmas, because I heard this before the break.
Okay.
And the boss, so aka husband/dad, tested positive. So he had to quarantine for 14 days in his hotel room. He could not leave his hotel room because you would think, like, oh, it's the Bahamas, no big deal. No, can you imagine being in that tiny space? Like, at least if you're home, you can go from the kitchen to your bedroom or whatever, but in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be awful.
But his family tested negative, so they all left. They're like, get us the fuck out of here, because I mean, what are they going
to
do?
More expensive for them to stay if they're not testing.
Well, that and it was like they were coming back like right before Christmas Eve.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Could you imagine?
So he
like,
I don't know if his wife stayed or not.
We got to leave dad kids. Let's go.
I'm like, I don't know if his wife stayed, but his kids are like grown, like in their early 20s or something.
Oh, so okay. That's like good. I was going to say, like, are they like, do they think Santa?
No. And yeah. So that's what I was like. I'm like, his family. I'm like, how old are his kids? Do they think Santa's coming to the Bahamas? Like, what's going on? And she's like, no, they're, I don't know, out of high school, I think. So
Santa's coming to the Bahamas. He's vaccinated. It's fine.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I don't even really hang out with people or even talk to that many people. And out of every person I've talked to, there's some story.
I honestly, it's so far, I guess I didn't really speak to very many people aside from you. Because nobody I know had COVID except for that one case. That's it.
Oh, there's been like a million memes about everybody dodging COVID during December, being the one person who's
and I'm out here like, at me, because I'm fine. I was met with a COVID incident and I'm fine. Seth is fine. Everybody's fine.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Well, you know,
just
willing it to be at this point. I have to be. And by the way, I did have the big 2-week corporate break. 1 week. It was 1 week corporate break, right? Yeah. It wasn't enough. Mm. A full week off.
I didn't even have that.
I know. I don't understand. Like, I'm getting to that. Like, I had a full week off and all the bullshit that we've gone through. Like, and then there are people like you who didn't have that opportunity. Are you okay? Because I was not fucking ready to come back to reality and, like, deal.
I wasn't either, to be honest. I mean, well, I don't think anyone is on the first Monday after the holidays, whether you had time off or not. Between Christmas Eve and today, I had the 2 weekends, and then I had 3 weekdays. That were off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not like there was a lot of activity happening. It's, and I'm in a new job too. So like there's plenty to, for me to do. It's just also like, I can kind of get away with not. Like I don't have anything that's like knocking on my door.
Yeah.
Like,
nothing is pressing.
Right.
Yeah.
But now
that.
Coming back into today, I was like, ugh,
yeah,
now things are gonna be pressing.
Yeah.
But no, I think that I will end up taking some time off in February.
Good.
Since I didn't get time off in December or around the holidays or whatever, as a for real mental break. Because yeah, looking back on just what we've been through as humans.
Right. Collectively.
It's heavy. It's heavy. And so heavy. I, on my days that I did have off, I was almost having this conversation in my head with myself about, like, why don't I feel more motivated? Why aren't I being more productive? Like, am I really going to, you know, DoorDash today? Like, there's no reason. I have food. Like,
yeah.
And it truly was just this, like, I've reached a limit.
Yeah. We have all maxed out. I have maxed the fuck out. I've maxed out. And, like, the 1 week in between where I didn't have any responsibilities for work, I was still thinking about all the other life responsibilities I've neglected or had to put on hold because of the last 2 years and the events that have occurred. And just like, you know, still financially recovering from everything and still thinking about like, I would love to have been able to do this or go here or see these people. And it's just so taxing on you still. Like mm-hmm. that 1 week just wasn't fucking enough.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I feel bad for people like you and other people who felt or couldn't or whatever the case was, like, had to work. And even if it was a light week for you, it was still looming that you were having to
True.
Do and work and not, you didn't just get to check out not think for a minute.
Right.
And when you did have the 2 days to check out and not think, you were like, well, I'm going to get back to work anyway, so you better not check out completely.
I was having more of a hard time with, I feel like this is a light week, and I feel like I have time to do stuff, but why don't I want to do anything?
Because you know? You're depressed. It's called stressy and depressy. Thanks, Panny. You're a great bitch.
Oh, man.
Big great bitch. But it's just like you need a we need a reset. We need to appreciate that we have the opportunity to do these things for ourselves, because right now it just feels like a task. It's just a chore. It's not an opportunity to feed myself, to cook dinner. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't want to do any of that.
Right.
Still.
Well, and I feel like I should be feeling grateful.
That's what I mean. Like, these
I
are.
I should be feeling grateful.
We're healthy. We have opportunities to feed ourselves. We don't have to rely or depend on anybody else to do the things that we need to do. Yet I don't want to do any of the fucking things I need to do.
Right.
Fuck you, COVID.
Right. And I think that's where my thought process spurred from. Let me finish some things.
Oh, full circle. I can dig that.
Yes.
I can fully dig that.
Yeah. Like, instead of extra shit looming.
Right.
It was like these things were looming.
The looming.
Yes. And I was like, let's just, you know, wrap this up.
You know, wrap it up.
Let's just wrap this up.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Because I get it. And I wish that we had more time at the end of the year to do shit like that. Like, I almost feel as though we should push it to January. End of the year is January. You have the whole month of January to get your life sorted before you start your new year.
Well, I mean, that's your taxes aren't actually or your W-2s and stuff aren't due to you till the end of January, so maybe you can apply it to
I can dig that.
Other things in your life as well.
The business end of the business year.
Right.
I like to
your
operate
fiscal
year. Yeah, I like to operate I like to fuck life is according to the fiscal year calendars.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. the big corporations use. So mm-hmm. third quarter, I should actively start to get my shit together.
Yeah, I do the whole February through November, not January through December.
Yeah, it's cool. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, so much so, like, to the point that, like, I can't handle being on any dating sites. I can't handle meeting new people.
I
feel like I tried so hard, and it was so much harder to meet people and make connections and all that. Like, the pandemic on single people.
Man.
It was a different type of struggle.
Taxing.
Yes. And I just was like,
I feel as...
The dating apps were making me depressy and stressy.
Ah, yeah. Those are real stressy and depressy. Those really do a number on you, too. Those things. Because it's like, we've talked about it so many times, but like the demasculization of men in society, and like the masculization of females in society, and how all of these men are just looking for a mom. And it sucks. Because nobody wants to be a mom to their partner.
Well, that's one piece of it. Yeah.
Well, but then like the pandemic on top of it and everything right. else. I feel like if I were to be in the situation where I'm like, I might want to entertain a new human in my life for a moment, like my attitude's clearly not there right now. But I feel like they would get that most authentic me if that were the case, because I would be very brash and honest about the feels that are coming up. I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I don't like you. Bye. Like, that's pretty much where I'm at. I feel like I would be like that.
I'm kind of like that, but I've really worked on a softer delivery.
You needed to. Not going to lie. We know this.
So I would not say that I've been harsh in any fashion whatsoever, to be honest.
But, like, why? Never mind. I know why you're softening yourself up. I can understand it can be brash. But at the same time, like, that's who you are.
Sure.
And so I don't want you to change yourself.
Sure.
To give the illusion that you're softer when you're not.
But it doesn't, I mean, if I'm ending things or if I'm not into somebody, there's no reason why I need to be harsh with
them. I see where you're going with that. That's fair.
The intention is to stop talking, not continue talking. Mm. And to do it in a gentle manner doesn't hurt anybody then.
This is true.
I'm not trying to hurt people.
I didn't realize you were talking explicitly about the letting them off the hook.
Well, that's what you were talking about.
That was just like my generic, I would be.
You'd be like, I'm not into you. I don't want to talk to you.
That would be one version. The other person would be like, you know, do you want to go get this kind of food? No, are you dumb? I'm gluten free. Remember? Like, I would be that person.
Oh, no patience.
Just no patience and very short.
Yeah. I have a lot of patience.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I don't really get short or like brash, I guess, until you've pushed my patience.
Mm-hmm.
You've extended the amount of patience that I have, and then I can no longer.
Yeah, you're good at that. I don't understand. I don't know. It's been like, it'll be 2 years-ish since I've been out of the dating game, and fucking terrifies me thinking about it still. Still.
It's not terrifying.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
Me personally, I'd be terrified. I wouldn't be able to do it because of how I would react. I'm so much like I've been taken out of the socialization skills. Like my skills are very limited at this point in time because of the interactions I have with humans are limited.
Sure.
Like I have
but
a boyfriend.
It's just a muscle that you kind of work. I mean,
I haven't been very friendly at the grocery store. So I feel like that's really my time to shine. Usually I'm nice to everybody there and I'm not. Kind at the moment, so I just
okay.
That's my gauge.
Wow.
To entertain a new human into my life, mm-hmm. It would take a lot of energy for me to like tone it down and be like, things are okay.
I guess I'm not really toning anything down. I'm just like trying to come from more of a place of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But not lose myself in the process or not lose who I am, but I tend to try to lead with kindness.
No, yes, but I again, I didn't realize you were talking explicitly about your letting people go measures. I was
right
being more generic, so I can appreciate the softening of the blow.
Right. There was a guy recently who like, well, recently means a couple of months ago because I'm not currently on any of the apps, right? But I met, let me rephrase. We matched. We texted a little bit. It didn't go on for a long time before we met up. We met in person. And as soon as I walked in, I was like, oh. Like, I didn't think I was attracted to him. Not that he was an unattractive guy.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, I don't think I'm attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up having a really fun time.
Did he become attracted to you again after that?
A little bit.
Okay.
Like, as the night went on, he had a little bit more, like, swag. Right? Like, my first initial, like, looking at him, I was like, oh, wow, he's really nerdy.
Oh. Oh, no, he's not going to be bougie enough for this bitch.
And you were correct. He was not. he was not. I mean, he tried to have a decent exterior. Like, he dressed okay and everything. But, yeah, I don't know. I just was not feeling it.
Happens.
He was doing all the right things.
Like,
that's the worst part about all of this is that he was doing the follow-up. He was pursuing me. He was asking me my schedule.
Aww.
Like, he was doing the right things. Except for, you know what, when it came to the dates, he was kind of lackadaisical. I did get annoyed a couple of times with his lack of decision making.
Mm-hmm.
and or research. Firing up the good old Google machine for a hot sec.
Real
That's
quick.
That's all it takes.
A couple thumb taps and there you go. Boom, info.
Right. So I hate to label it as research because it's not really.
Yeah, research is very formal also.
Right?
Just doing the work.
So yeah, then we hung out again. And like I said, his date planning skills were kind of mediocre, right? And I don't know. It just wasn't feeling it, right? And so at the end of the date, he was like, are you not really feeling me? Like, he texted me that. He didn't say it, like, in person. He was just like, he texted me, are you not really feeling me? It's all good if you're not.
In person?
No, he texted me
after
that.
After the date?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were like, okay.
And my response was, you're a great guy, so I wanted to keep trying to see if I'd feel something more. Unfortunately, I'm not getting a romantic connection.
That's fair. That's
And then he just
honest.
Gave me a thumbs up emoji, which I feel like is fine. Like, I feel like that's a very courteous, easy transition out.
He was hurt. He gave you a thumbs up. That's it. He was hurt.
Are you not going to be hurt? You're rejected.
Well, I'm not saying that's your fault.
No,
I'm saying,
I know,
like, you
I'm
did a great job.
Like,
but yeah, he was hurt.
No matter what, you're feeling rejected.
But I think that you did a good job, but he was hurt. He liked you.
They all do. Unless they don't make it to the date. In one of our previous episodes, was the two episodes ago or whatever, I was talking about the ones where didn't even get to a date.
Yeah. Didn't even happen.
Yeah, I have a bunch of those types of stories. Still, more of them. But anyway, I think the worst part about trying to date right now, and with the COVID cases soaring, and it being seasonal depression in addition to regular depression, is that you're like, okay, I'm giving this person a chance. And there's all this other looming, right?
So much.
And then you want it to work. And so, you know, I gave this guy a couple chances, even though initially right upon seeing him, I was like, meh.
Who said it? If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no.
Anwar White.
One of our guests.
Yeah. I know. But like, you're in this position with all these other environmental factors, right? You're not like out there dating. I'm not going to be hitting up guys and going on different dates like every other day or whatever when it's COVID-y.
A little COVID-y out there. We're going to keep it inside. Or what's another Omicron? How do you say it?
Omicron, yeah.
I keep seeing
there's no N in the Omni. It's just Omi.
Yeah, see, I keep fucking it up bad, but I keep seeing Omarion.
Oh.
Did you see that meme of, like, how people, different people say the new variant?
Uh-uh.
When it's, like, I can't remember, like, white people say it this way, Latin people say it this way, black people say it this way, and it's
Omarion.
Yeah. And it's what I go to.
It dances its way off the stage.
Yep, it's just what I go to every time, like, Omarion. Like, I did that before I saw the meme, so I was like, oh, that's funny. I'm not alone. That's good stuff.
He was recently on The Masked Singer.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Did he do good?
Yeah, I mean, he made it to, like, I don't know, finals or something, I think.
God, I didn't.
But, you know, he was doing his whole dance move.
Of course
they,
you know.
They were calling him Usher.
Of course you know about him. The most obscure fucking R&B artist. And Nicole's like, I got the beat. He's been on shit lately. Off the rip, also. Just
right.
Knows.
Right.
Why?
Because it's real COVID-y out there.
I got to keep my time due up with something. I just have to re-up on all of my...
Let me be entertained.
Speaking of entertained.
Yes.
90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days have come back
I just can't believe how many branches off of this show. Like, the amount of spinoffs for 90 Day is insane.
You're telling me. And as a, you know, an obsessed fan, that would be me. I can't get over the fact that, like, I still don't even know about all the fucking spinoffs and I can't watch them all. But, like, we have a return of repeat offender. I'm just, it's crazy. So it
was
this...
What do you mean? It was somebody who like dated somebody from 90 Day Before and is back and dating a new person?
Yeah. But this, he's from Nigeria. So he's a Nigerian rap artist, and his name is Usman, and he hooks these old white ladies. And his first old white lady was baby girl Lisa, and she was, if you know, probably in her late 50s, smokes cigarettes.
Really, just a peach. She's a gem. She's a gem. Baby girl Lisa.
Like that. That was baby girl Lisa.
Ew.
And they had gotten married. Yeah, yeah. And they had gotten married, and they had done the whole thing, and he couldn't come to the States or whatever the case was. And so they parted ways. So now he's found this new white lady to mack on. And at this point, she reached out to him. She said that she continued to like want to talk to him, whatever the case is. And he's just allowing this female to do whatever, talk to him, whatever. And so finally, he invites her out to watch his new music video get filmed about some other female that he knows. And they fly to like Turkey or something so they can meet together and whatever the case is. And so she started off being a fan and then became like, as he calls her, a potential for a girlfriend. So he flew this. She flew herself out. He just invited her. She had to fly herself out. She had to get her own hotel room. She thinks that they're in this like relationship. They get to the hotel.
All the women on these.
Delusional. Delusional.
And the amount of money.
And she's like.
All these women.
She doesn't have that money. We all know that she doesn't have any savings.
Like, I'm not saying that they have it. I'm saying they just spend it.
How? Yeah, exactly.
And they all spend it on these dudes.
Gets crazier.
I'm watching the Caribbean one.
Yeah.
Or Paradise or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And there's a 30-year-old woman with a 23-year-old guy. And so she's like supporting him.
Yeah, because he needs a mom.
From America. And he's in Costa Rica.
Because he needs a mom. So.
He's 23. She's. Ugh. Anyway.
He can't take care of himself. His mom took care of him and then like passed him into society. And then he found a woman to suck her teat. Anyway. So she flies herself over to Turkey. She gets herself the most expensive hotel room suite. She gets herself the honeymoon suite. And him and his boys, his entourage, go pick her up. And they're like, oh, hey, super fan. And she's like, don't fucking call me that. I'm not a super fan. And he was like, hey, don't be rude. She's a potential. In front of her. In front of her, she's allowing this. So then they get to the hotel. And she's like, well, do you want to, you know, they have their own hotel room separate because he wants to take it slow. And I'm using air quotes. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, all right, well, come visit me in my room. And she goes up there to visit her. And she gives him a PS5 and a brand new MacBook.
What?
Yeah.
Why did she even travel with this stuff? I mean, besides the why did you buy it for him? Let's just forget about that.
The fact
why
that she made
it travel with it to Turkey.
Right. Terrible. Dangerous. Can't believe she made it through the airport with that shit.
Right.
Incredible. So then.
Well, and she had to basically pay another thing of luggage to get all that shit.
Ugh. Consider it. So then she's like, oh, I'm really happy that I was able to do this for you to make you happy. He's literally showing physical affection to this PS5 or whatever, like more affection to her than she has shown him or he has shown her the entire time.
Yeah. He's hugging the PS5 harder than her.
Yes. Kissing it. Loving it. Oh, I'm going to sleep with it in the bed tonight. She's like, oh, you're going to sleep with your new toy and not me? He was like, yes, tonight I am.
Wowza.
And then she continues to think that he is actually emotionally interested in her. And so I don't know how the rest goes, but like he left the left of the room with all the things. And she was just like, well, I can be persuasive when I need to be. I guess I'll figure it out for next time. And it's like, no, bitch, she just used the fuck out of you. Get a clue. Like,
these are the shows. I mean, he took advantage of her by taking the things,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like she bought these on her own accord.
Oh, certainly. But he allowed her to do it, knowing full well he's not actually interested.
Right.
And then he's talking to the camera people, and he's like, yeah, in person, she's way prettier. She's a unique haggy look about her.
Okay.
I feel like he's lying, is my point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's just crazy to watch these people just exploiting these people on TV. No, it's normal. It's fine. It's no big deal.
Well, this has been going on since reality TV came to fruition. I mean, remember A Flavor of Love, for heaven's sake. I mean, so this has been going on for decades.
Consider now that there's social media and the fact that there's that extra layer of nonsense that goes on in the background of all this shit. Like,
I wouldn't be able to do it. I would not be able to handle all the chatter, comments, hate, whatever. Like, I, as much as I am extremely strong-willed and very stable and well-established, have decent mental health. There's mentally, no way.
No. There's... spiritually, also no.
There's no way.
I have a hard time, like, I get anxious about people accepting me and bad comments or, you know, mean comments affect me like anybody else. And I would just never be able to put myself out there as an individual, let alone relying on a partner to not make me look like a fucking super idiot. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I truly feel like if you call me a bimbo or make me look stupid, that's way worse than calling me a whore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather. So the worst thing about me is that I like to fuck.
Ooh.
In comparison to, you a dumb bitch. Like, that's very different in my world.
Yeah, I would prefer somebody to call me names than, like, me being duped by them.
Right.
Like, that's in my opinion, that's, like, I'm the biggest failure in the world. Oh, don't let it happen again, y'all.
Well, I don't think that it's a failure, necessarily, but I wouldn't want to be made to look that way in front of other people.
Certainly
there's not. Plenty of times when you're duped or you're misunderstood or whatever, right? But it's not broadcast out on television.
Yeah, I think that also part of me would be, like, if I hear the chatter, would you... Because, you know, people are out there saying, like, oh, why would you do this to these people? And these people are like, don't worry about it. It's my life. I know what I'm doing. And people are like, no, but you don't. And I'll tell you why. Like, I feel as though there has to be some, like, you have to take some of that into consideration, that chatter in public when something's going down. But, like, some of these people, man, they're just full bore until the wheels fall off and they have to experience it. It doesn't matter if they go through it alone or with people, and it's obvious. TLC finds them, man, and they just run it.
Well, they might be in a different position in their lives as well, where the money and potential fame sounds more appealing to them, whereas me, I'm not hard up for cash.
I'm not hard up for fame, man. I don't need people to know me like that.
Well, yeah, I mean that too, but I'm just saying, typically, money is probably going to be the driver.
They don't get paid very much. They really don't.
Really?
Yeah, their salaries, I'm air quoting, if you will, I think they get like $1,500 an episode. So 15 times 8 is how much? Like, that's not very much. They exploit them, and then they use their exposure to society or whatever. How many times am I going to say fucking society in this goddamn episode, by the way? But they use their exposure to, like, get advertisements and stuff like that. So they, like, are self-made. They don't get paid a lot.
Oh.
It's crazy.
So then they just have to become, like, influencers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
Married at First Sight is the show that I watch that whenever we talk about our reality binges. And they don't either. Like, they really, those people, like, really go on there looking for love or something.
I mean, good for them.
Because they get paid like $1,000 an episode, and I think there's 12 or something. There's spinoffs of that too. Like,
I just had an idea.
Check-ins and stuff, but
Nicole, what happens? Hear me out. What happens if we audition for one of these shows for you. Not obviously not the ones where you have to do like activities or anything like that or be outside. But I feel like this could be a fun new era for you.
No, we just talked about how I don't want anything to do with any of this.
Okay. I tried.
And what reality show is there no activities?
Well, I meant like the physical ones that it's like painful to watch sometimes.
You mean like competition shows? No, I have no desire to be on television.
I know, but you want to find love.
The last season of Married at First Sight, none of the couples stayed together.
I know, it was a joke. It was a joke. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. This is like the joke that I, when Nicole first like met a guy, and she was like, there's some potential there. I'd be like, you guys are getting married. That's like my new version of you're getting married.
Both jokes suck.
I know. For you. You guys are getting married.
Nope. Sure not.
All right. Well, on that note, you got any attagirls for us?
My attagirls, I think, is what I've already talked about. I finished my
That's
basement.
Not what she said.
Right?
I finished.
Yep. That's... dot, dot, dot. My basement. And this other book. Like, I wrapped some things up. I think that, you know, my basement painting project spanned probably like 2 years. So
yeah, that's a long time. Because you did start in the beginning of the vid.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I've had several different things where I've messed up. And then it's, you know, you have to make sure that you're, like, either covering it up or not caring.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple of pivots.
Pivot!
But here we are. All done.
Well, I'm impressed. Well, I did a make your boyfriend a gift this year for Christmas. And I'm really proud of myself because my little art project worked. I was able to... mold, cast, and mount like little mushrooms that I made. I'm gonna try to show you a picture.
You mentioned that you're dabbling in resin.
Yes, and so I actually dabbled and it was successful.
I can't really see that from here, and I don't think that it's the right way.
It is.
Oh.
No, it is. You just can't see it.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look at it later.
My microphone fell. Anyway.
A little decorative piece.
A little decorative piece, yes. But it's something that is time consuming. And, you know, I don't give myself a lot of time for myself. But it was something that was kind of like cathartic for me to sit down and do like an actual real art project. It felt good to sit down, start and accomplish and like finish something like you said in like a couple of month time span instead of being like, I'm going to do this and then finish it one day. So... I'm proud of myself. I actively started and finished a project in 1 year. That's a big deal.
But did you give it to him on time for Christmas?
Nope.
Okay, well, you know, baby steps.
2 days after.
Okay.
Had to, so like we had a little snafu with the casting, like the materials. I didn't have enough. And then when I went to get more, the store was out too. And then the other store was closed. Because they didn't have enough people.
Yeah. See, this is why I said like my 2 year project of my basement. It's not like I was working on it every weekend. It's like I'd work on it and then some bullshit would happen and then I'd stop working on it for a month and a half and then do it again or whatever.
Yeah. So it was like I was impressed because I didn't like, I also didn't stress myself out about getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you want to enjoy this project just as much as you want to give it to him. You just don't want to enjoy it. So I like forced myself not to be a perfectionist. I forced myself to just enjoy the time I was spending doing it. And then like, you know, I gave myself ample time to get it done. But because I had to do that, like go around and find the material, I didn't have enough. It actually pushed back the timing on everything because it was like you need it to dry for several 12, 24 hours, whatever the case may be. So like... pushed my days back, But I was proud of myself. I had planned it all out. I project mastered it all, and I figured it all out, and I was on time for the most part, but then I couldn't get the materials because Amazon doesn't deliver, you know, like, immediately out here, and the stores were closed because of fucking COVID. So, I tried.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, did he like it?
Yes. Loved it.
Okay, then great.
Yeah, no, it was totally worth it. He was very happy with it. It was one of his favorite things he's ever received, he said, so... Victory is mine.
Okay. Well, if you like what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. Contact us on Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can DM us if you want to be a guest on the show or have a story to share. You can also join our closed group on Facebook called the Homance Chronicles, the Judgment Free Zone. So with that... Happy New Year, everybody.
Woo, we did it. We made
Even
it.
Even though our New Year conversation was...
dark.
Not great. Happy New Year!